Good morning. Again, my name is Shirley Sherry, and I'm going to be talking about improving hypertension control through a public health and primary care collaboration. And actually, it's public health on the state level, public health on the local level, and then some clinics that we worked with. Let's see here. I have no relationships to disclose. So I'm just going to just briefly mention the Million Hearts campaign. It's a national initiative to prevent a million heart attacks and strokes by the year 2017. How they're going to exactly measure that, I'm not quite sure, but that's their tagline. It's a promotion of a public health and private partnerships, and there's two broad goals: to empower Americans to make healthy choices and to improve care. So in September of 2013, the Association for State and Territorial Health Officials, ASTO, issued an RFP to states to do a multi-state learning collaborative. The focus was on hypertension identification, control and improvement, utilization of a quality improvement process, and then to partner across sectors. And so when we received it, we thought, oh, okay, this might be a good thing for us. We had, the state of Minnesota had a community transformation grant. So community transformation, that's out of the Affordable Care Act, out of the prevention fund, and they had created community transformation grant. 3 years it lasted, and then Congress had to X something out. So that was the most vulnerable. So it got X'd out, although the dollars didn't disappear. So the dollars now have been routed through CDC still, but embedded into diabetes and chronic disease, or the stroke and hypertension units. So for what we did is we thought, well, okay, let's begin taking a look at the communities and seeing who would be willing to partner with us. And we also wanted, it wasn't a huge amount of money, it was like $50,000. And so what we wanted to do is to really place the dollars where it was greatly needed. So the Minnesota Department of Health put together a team. And it was a registered nurse who works in our hypertension and stroke, heart disease and stroke unit. Myself as a health education specialist, an epidemiologist, and then we had, let's see, one more person just jumped out of my head. We had a physician on staff that just kind of helped with the overall strategy. And then we had Carlton, Cook, Lake, St. County. I didn't want to just put the initials, but it's a community health board they formed together. And they recruited 4 clinics to begin with. The clinics are listed. And we also, our partner is Stratus Health, which is the QIN organization for our state, and that's Quality Improvement Network group. So this is just a map of Minnesota for those of you that are not familiar with it. The green is the counties that we worked in, so there were 3 different counties, and then the dots were the clinics that we worked along with. In Duluth, that's the population center of the area, because this is very rural, and we had 2 clinics there. We didn't do just a, you know, nice logic model. We wanted to combine our quality improvement and then all the inputs that went into it. So Minnesota had a good foundation already. We have an organization called Minnesota Community Measurement, where all the clinics and hospitals submit data to it, and then there's a committee that decides which ones are going to be publicly reported. And so we do public reports for both hospitals and clinics. And then we have ICSI, Institute for Clinical Systems Improvement, that in Minnesota we've come together to decide what kinds of quality guidelines that we were going to use. SHIP is our statewide health improvement program. I'm half of my time is in that, but it's policy, systems, and environment change. Dollars go into the communities to address tobacco use and obesity. And then there's a whole host of others, and I'm because of time, I'm not going to go into detail, but all of this has fed into what we're working on. And then as you look at the little bubbles, I don't know what you call these things, but so we have our state and local public health partnership. We have guidelines and best practices that we identified. We have baseline data. So what we did is we collected the NQF National Quality Forum measure on hypertension. We had clinic workflows that we worked with, team-based care, home blood pressure monitoring and self-management, and we did data analytics. So basically what our team provided was support. We had monthly meetings. We found experts to come in to help us and to do webinars, and if we needed extra consultation, they were available. We did individual coaching calls with the clinics, especially when they were working on their quality improvement cycles if they needed assistance. And then when we did the webinars or we did some calls, we had everybody together so that then there could be some sharing. The three protocols that they looked at primarily was accurate measurement of blood pressure. So one of the things that clinics found was that, oh, okay, they thought the MA, the medical assistants and the nurses, they all took the blood pressure the same, and that wasn't necessarily the case. If you didn't keep an eye on it and people were in a big rush, they wouldn't necessarily do it correctly. So it was instituting a policy that there was an annual competency review for both medical assistants and nurses. There was a lot of pushback with the nurses because they said, well, we know how to do it, but again, it was just a review. And then hypertension treatment guidelines, the guidelines change. You have to keep updated. We went from JNC7 to JNC8, so just refreshing people's memories with that and getting that incorporated into the electronic health record, and then blood pressure home monitoring. So clinics might have had that policy in the past, but then it disappeared as with health reform, there's been a lot of staff changeover in the clinics. Clinics merge, become different entities, people change around. One of the clinics, they had to go in their closet and they're like, oh, here, we've got some blood pressure monitors that we could set up a loan program. We couldn't afford to give them out. So that's just kind of give you a little idea. Okay, so why Northeast Minnesota? With our epidemiologist, Jim Peacock was the person that helped me put these slides together. We really, in the beginning, we took a look at, where are the issues within the state and who would we want to approach? And I had said that before. But it's the major cause of death in that area, and it's the second leading cause of death in Minnesota. So the big disparities persisted. And so compared to Hennepin County, which is our largest county in Minnesota, mortality rates were 50% higher in St. Louis County, 32% higher in Itasca, and 23% higher in Aiken County. And still, St. Louis County, though, is 6% lower than the overall national. We think, it's not that bad, but there's still room for improvement. And then this is just a graph of what I just talked about. When we talk about the surveys, for overall Minnesota, we use the BRFIS data. However, through our statewide health improvement program, we've been able to work with clinics or communities, local public health communities, to look at different issues regionally and put out a survey every 3 to 5 years. We're trying to begin to align ourselves with what the hospitals need to submit. But we've added in extra questions above and beyond some of the BRFIS data so that we can get at what we want. And in Northeast Minnesota, they call it the Bridge to Health Survey. This just some comorbidity, chronic conditions, because of time, I'm not going to go into depth about this, but we did take a look at our Medicare beneficiaries and hypertension. And then with one of our measures that we have, we call it an optimal vascular measure, and this is something that the state of Minnesota has been collecting for many years. Clinics did it on a voluntary basis, and now It's part of our what we publicly report, but there were four items: blood pressure, LDL, daily aspirin use, and documented tobacco-free status. So one of the things that we began to look at was, okay, how is hypertension, how is it there? Because we didn't collect from the clinics the NQF-18, that's not really collected anywhere. It's collected through a HEDIS measure, but it's not direct data submission from the clinics. Again, for blood pressure control, when we looked at that optimal vascular care measure and we pulled out the blood pressure, took a look at the clinics, we aggregated it, and then just took a look at where there could be room for improvement. With looking at this and then thinking about, oh, if we do direct data submission with the blood pressure measure, control measure, we might expect 10 to 15 times as many people in the data set than what we've got here now. And I had just talked about the HEDIS. One of the things with the HEDIS measure is that it's reappropriated into medical groups and not individual clinics, so it's really hard to know which clinic, which area is doing better than others. Just our blood pressure control statewide. And then one of the other things we looked at was, okay, well, for this high, do we really need to be working on it? And then what we did is we looked at the variability among each one of the clinics, because we were able to pull that, and there is variability. As you can see, some clinics are doing really well and other clinics aren't. And then this is when we did our first data pull. We had baseline, and then after a year, this just gives you a sample of percent change. So our intervention began December of 2013, and actually, one of our clinics did very well, as you can see, with the percent change, and they were nominated as the Million Hearts Hypertension. Okay. And we're going to move along because I only have two more minutes. One of the interesting things that we found was that there was improvement. So we stratified the data. There was improvement in both sexes, all age groups, and most race groups. And with the exception of the African Americans, and that was in our Duluth area, so now that clinic is doing a little bit of a deeper dive about what they can do and how they can reach out into the community. And then I have happy face, sad face. So we did well in certain areas, but then there were still some people that stayed uncontrolled for both of the years that we worked on this. And there were a few that went from controlled to uncontrolled. And so again, we're doing a deeper dive and looking at the reasons and seeing, well, what can we do to help? And I'm not going to go into depth about that because I only have two more minutes. One of the clinics, their intervention, they added in a health coach. And so we saw a positive change in blood pressure control when a person was referred to a health coach. As you can see with the green, this was control with no intervention. It was the physician or nurse practitioner or clinician talking to the patient, not referred to the health coach. Then we looked at the health coach himself, it was a he, and we looked at how many visits patients had. And it was very interesting because if a patient only had 1 to 2 visits with the health coach, it was real insignificant. But if it was 3 or more, then it was really significant. So again, we need to look at more. I'm moving along. And so then this just shows controlled, the 44% and 39%, this was really great because this was from the people that saw the health coach 3 or more times. Project communication. So we used a learning collaborative model, and we just are trying to get the word out that it does work. And the partnership has been great with local public health in the state and the clinics. And then our next steps, what we did was recruited 2 FQHC clinics, and we are in the process of collecting their data. And then what we did is we added into the 1422 grant. And so this is just a picture of how we're spreading it out, but we're using the same model with this grant as what we did with the ASTO. And the Community Wellness Grant is hypertension, looking at hypertension and prediabetes. and then this is our next steps. And then I had to end with this because one of the things with the state, you know, they keep us in the cubes all the time. We live in cube land. We don't get out very much. And so so what we've started doing is when we go out to the clinics, we'll stop and get a postcard and kind of to talk about the area and stuff. And so we found this postcard. And so we just had a howling good time. Yes, and then this is our staff. We and the other two people that worked on the project with me. Thank you.